Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Joining us now is a member of the Treasury Select Committee, MP Anthony Brown, MP for South Cambridgeshire, elected in 2019. Anthony, welcome to the programme. Thanks so much
for being with us.
Look, we spoke to you yesterday on TV, I know, just before Kwasi Kwarteng's speech, but now we have you afterwards. What did you make of the 20-minute speech?
Well, I was there a few rows from the front, and I thought it did the job. It was, it was trying to reassure people. He didn't apologise, but he confronted the U-turn right up front, got it out of the way. But the main thing is, and I completely support this and understand this, you need to stay the course in terms of the plan for growth, in terms of actually trying to get the economy going again. I've written various pieces in the past before Liz was leader saying we need a laser-like focus on economic growth. We've got to get our long-term growth rate up in the UK. And he and the Prime Minister are trying to do that, and I absolutely support that, even if there are stumbles on the way, like the 45p tax.
Okay. In terms of the detail, though, it's problematic, and the markets have found it problematic, that we got the tax cut announcement first and then the actual, how to fund it later. The medium-term
fiscal plan, in the so-called mini-budget, the fiscal event.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think even the Chancellor would accept that the handling should have been different. And the big problem was not reassuring the markets beforehand for a new Chancellor.
So 23rd of November is when it's slated to be the medium-term plan in terms of the fiscal plan for the government. The Chancellor yesterday said that it would be coming sooner than that. How much sooner?
Well, the critical date before that is on November the 3rd. The Bank of England have got the Monetary Policy Committee where they set interest rates, and clearly it would be better to have it before that, certainly if it's a reassuring thing so the Bank of England can actually see the fiscal projections so that when they decide what the interest rate should be. And, you know, if he can show how he's going to fund all this, then presumably that should be, ideally, hopefully, reassuring to the Bank of England, and they may not raise rates as much as they otherwise would, or indeed not raise rates at all.
The Chancellor did not mention in that speech yesterday, did not say the word inflation, interest rates, or mortgages.
All right, I didn't. I wasn't doing a word count.
No, yeah. Sure, but those are the key words when it comes to the impact of what the Chancellor has done. They're missing. Is that kind of concerning? And certainly for voters, it will be, because they're seeing their mortgage rates go up, and that's the thing that is going to hit economic growth.
Well, I'm sure he mentions it in many other contexts and other speeches, and I know he's done interviews about it. And I completely understand. Mortgage borrowers who are really worried about the rates of interest rate, and it is having a dramatic impact on many people's sort of day-to-day spending ability. But actually, he was setting out his sort of big vision on what he wants to do with the economy as a whole in terms of getting increasing productivity, the supply side improvements that he's planning, and it's absolutely right he sets that out. He can't, in a 20-minute speech, you can't address absolutely everything.
Yeah, although it's short by historical standards.
Is it? I don't know what a Chancellor's speech at a party conference normally is.
But his
fiscal event speech. I mean, again, I was a couple of rows behind him when he did that. And that was very short as well. I mean, that was far shorter than the average. I think the average budget speech is about an hour or something.
Yeah.
I think that was about 20 minutes. So he doesn't do really long speeches. That doesn't particularly bother me. I don't think people want politicians who do really long speeches.
Well, it's
I tend to do shorter speeches. Well, often they do long speeches without any detail. But yes, I agree. Obviously, we do need detail, but there's lots of ways of getting detail out.
Okay. Uprating benefits in line with inflation. Is that definitely going to happen? Can we afford it?
So I don't know what the government's planning on that. I'm not inside the decision-making loop on that. I certainly understand they're looking at everything in terms of public spending, as well as obviously taxation, which they've announced, in order to show how we can live within our means. There are clearly arguments that benefits normally is uprate in line with inflation. Most employees are not getting 10% pay rises this year. Indeed, all the threatened strikes and strikes that are happening, people will be delighted with the 10% pay rise. So there's a question mark about whether only people on benefits should be the only ones to get inflation linked pay rise. But on the other hand, the counter argument obviously is it's very problematic, particularly in the cost of living crisis, to actually try and balance the books by not uprating inflation in line with RPI. And there's obviously a lot of people who are seriously concerned about that.
But what are you in favour of?
I feel really uncomfortable uprating or balancing the books on the backs of the lowest paid or the people on lowest incomes. But I want to see the full The full arguments and the full all the different figures and so on, rather than just have a debate about something that hasn't even started yet. And I haven't seen any government position on this. So I don't think the government's made any announcement.
Okay.
That I've seen.
The mini budget tanked sterling, it sent borrowing costs skywards, and it forced the Bank of England into an intervention worth £65 billion into the bond markets. And next week, the Treasury Select Committee are going to be have a discussion with Andrew Bailey, the Bank of England governor. What are you going to be asking him? I mean, after all of the sort of hits the Bank of England took in terms of criticism during the election campaign and over the last year, the Bank of England saved the government's bacon.
Well, in fact, Andrew Bailey came just before the Queen's demise, actually. I asked some questions about the whole the remit of the Bank of England, and we had an extensive exchange about that, which you can look up if you want. and basically, I fully support the government's, the Bank of England's independence, and I'm definitely reassured that the Chancellor, the Prime Minister, have also reiterated that. But the Bank of England's remit, so this is, I think, what the government had talked about, is reviewing the remit, has been periodically reviewed ever since it was made independent, and often the terms are changed. So it went from RPI to CPI, the target went from a sort of 1% range to being a spot on target. And actually a point the governor of the Bank of England made, which I hadn't appreciated when I asked the question, that actually there was due to be a review of its remit before the change of government. Mm-hmm. So I really wouldn't take that much surprise from if there is a review of the remit, so long as it's very narrow scope about the exact how you exactly do the inflation target, rather than bringing into question the whole independence of the Bank of England. Because I think the Bank of England generally, and I've been a defender of the Bank of England, I mean,
yes,
it's had a lot of flack over the fact that inflation has gone really high, but actually it's gone really high in pretty much every country, and it was an exogenous supply shock. The price of fuel went right up, and that had knock-on consequences. There's very limited ways you can control that through monetary policy.
Just one last thought then on this government. Everybody is now talking about whether there's going to be another shoe that drops, whether there's going to be another U-turn after two yesterday. You know, are there more measures that are seriously in danger, for example, corporation tax?
I really don't think so, and I certainly hope not. I think it's clearly not good for governments to, any government to U-turn. Governments don't like U-turning, and I totally get that. And I think the corporation tax, the national insurance cut, they were both, really big parts of the leadership election campaign. They were announced. I haven't seen any real pushback against that. And actually, if you want to be reassuring about this, actually all it's doing is returning the level of taxation of those two taxes back to the level it was in April. It's not like that's when the national insurance rise came in. The corporation tax rise hadn't even come in yet, so it wasn't reversing a rise in corporation tax. It was just keeping corporation tax at the level it already was. So I think those measures are completely sort of priced in.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com. We'll be right back.